ahead and merge this call with Paul, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Are we all there? We got Paul and Brian?
I'm here.
Okay. Brian, obviously we received your email regarding a competency motion.
Yes, ma'am.
What's prompted this?
Well, my counselor or my therapist out at the VA is the one that mentioned it. And
okay.
It's the second time he's mentioned it. And then I know you mentioned it at one point. And then, so several people have mentioned it. So that's kind of what prompted it.
Okay. So you saw in my email, this is something that has to be necessitated by a motion, which is a suggestion of competency. And there's two parts to it, Brian. The first of which is, are you competent to stand trial? And essentially that means, are you able to assist your attorneys on your case and at trial? And I'll speak frankly, I've known you longer than Paul. I think you can. But then the second part is, are you suffering from a mental, I'm just telling you the law is, it's not my words, it's the law. Are you suffering from a mental defect that you're not able to comprehend your personal responsibility as alleged in the case?
Yeah. I've read that part as well.
Okay.
Just because I wanted to make sure that, I didn't know what the elements were that you had to meet in terms
of
competency. So, yes, I understand there were two elements.
Okay. Now, it's one thing to file a motion and get this heard and get it before the judge. And then we have to discuss how this examination is done, Brian. And in the federal system, the federal court actually has a way for you as a defendant to get a competency exam. And while I don't like this option, but oftentimes, that is, at least it's been my experience in the last two cases I've had, where the defendant is taken into custody and you're sent to a Bureau of Prison institution where they can conduct this exam on you.
Understood. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, now, Brian, this isn't a pleasure cruise. You'd be gone for about 30 or 45 days.
Yes, ma'am. I understand that.
I don't know, Paul and I have no control where you'd be sent. It could be Manhattan, it could be Boston, it could be Maryland. Those are the three that I'm aware of that have the psychiatrists on staff.
Okay.
So, we just obviously want to discuss this. That now, my preference, Brian, would be I choose who does your evaluation, and I've identified someone. I imagine she'd have the time to do it. It's a Dr. O'Donnell in Cincinnati, and that would require me requesting funds to hire her for this.
Okay.
There's another lady who's Kara Marciani, and she's locally. She's with the Western Psychiatric Division in Dayton, Ohio. She's local. So I'm going to turn this over to Paul and get his input.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tracking right along with Samara, and thank you for what it's worth, Mr. Higgins, for taking the time. Understand that in cases where there's sometimes been some zigs and some zags, you know, Samara and I have to sort of make sure that we're crossing every T and dotting every I. And
understood.
We've sort of been down this path before, right, where it was, you know, no, 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 and then it was yes, 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 and then it was no, no, no.
Well, it's only been...
And here we are.
No, it hasn't been that many. It hadn't been that many. It was a discussion, and we never really divulged into it. We talked about my mental health providers out at the VA and getting records, and then we really didn't follow back up. And after talking to my therapist out there, they brought it up. And so, you know, I just wanted to know whether or not A, that's something that we have time to do.
I'm less interested in the past than I am about the present, but I respectfully disagree with that somewhat past version of events. There was a change of position on this issue in the past, and so Tamara and I think are appropriately just making sure that we're tracking it carefully. It's also, even though we're going to continue to do everything in our abilities, in what we think is in your best interest, we wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't at least warn you, hey, Brad, we're going to do our best to get this thing handled locally, but we're not the one who controls.
Understood.
Once we raise the issue, once we file the suggestion, which I assume, you know, based on your conversation, we will. I don't see any reason why we won't. You very appropriately said, my therapist is the one who kind of brought this up. And certainly, you know, the letters that Tamara and I have after our last names don't entitle us or educate us in any way to swim in those waters. We ought not. We will not. So we'll try to get it handled locally. But you needed to know, and you acknowledge very openly that, you know, I get it. You know, if the judge decides he wants it done inpatient, that could happen, and I accept that as a potential risk.
Yeah, I as well.
With that being said, the one thing I think I can tell you is Judge Rose is not going to want to have this bump the trial date, and it ought not. I think we're still far enough away. Tomorrow and I may get a little heat. You know, guys, why are you doing this now? But that's an us problem. We'll handle that. So, you know, I think the specifics still have to go into play. But we will be moving on this promptly. We need to move on this promptly because time is of the essence. So tomorrow, unless I've said something wrong or overstepped in some way, or are we in agreement that we'll file the suggestion promptly? And what we'll probably do also, Brian, is just set up a quick call with the judge just so he's not sort of taken just by surprise. You know, sort of a quick status phone call. We can get those set up fairly quickly. Hey, Judge, here's what's going on. You know, here's our plan. You know, how does the court intend to handle this so that we can try to head off any issues before they become problems?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Where do we stay? I guess I saw your last email. We got moved up a week, it looks like.
Yeah. So the court, something went out with the courts that they called. They asked us, hey, can you all do the July 26th? And we were like, yes. And I checked with you, and you were okay with that. What's that?
I was going to say, I'm okay to the extent I didn't know I had a choice.
Well, actually, you don't. I'm sorry to say. I don't mean it, you know, like pejoratively. I mean, they said, hey, are you guys available July 26th? We wanted to move it a week up, and Paul and I were available, and then I let you know. Yes. I mean, barring you had some, God forbid, something, surgery or something, I can't, you know, I'm sure you would have told us.
Yeah, no. I just know that, I know that you and Paul have often said that because of the complexity of my case, you need as much time as you can. So, I mean, I guess that's a week, you know, we're giving up a week of trial prep. But if you don't think you need that week of trial prep.
No, we're fine. We're definitely very well on track.
Okay. Yeah. So that's, I guess, it's, what is the date? Is it July 24th?
July 26th.
Okay, 26th.
Right.
Here, then I guess Mr. Johnson, he's going to have his stuff ready for this hearing on the 24th?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's it. That's all I just wanted to, you know, give you guys the time to tell me what my worst case scenario is. So worst case, they will commit me to some institution for 45 days, up to 45 days. Would that be?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Brian, let me just tell you, technically, it's been my experience, it's 30 days pretty much to get a competency. It can happen in an outpatient, you know, when you're out and you go to the psychiatrist's office and they do the evaluation. Typically, it's a 30-day turnaround. But if they do the option where they do it through the BOP, it could be longer.
Okay. Would that push my trial back?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, we'll see what the judge says. If it does,
we have some confidence that the judge is going to do everything in his ability to maintain that trial date. And I think that actually my take on that would be that works to your benefit, because I don't think the judge is going to want to release you to the BOP, because that process really sort of gives up control. He sort of turns you over to them.
Okay.
And then they there will notify the judge when they're done. And I don't think he's going to want to do that. So I would view that as being a reason why he would want to keep you local and keep this under a process that he can control. So okay. that's probably, that plays to our favor, I would hope.
Okay. I understand.
Yeah.
What is Mr. Johnson's take on the government's last motion?
Well, I don't know that we've necessarily asked him, and quite honestly, I don't know that his opinion necessarily is super relevant. He is an attorney; he does understand the rules of law, things like that. But you know, imagine if he were a doctor, and he was just giving a medical opinion, and the government was trying to exclude his testimony, on some theory, the doc would say, I like my opinion. For what it's worth, I'll give you my two cents on the government's motion. I don't think that there's a lot of legs to this notion of him being unqualified. The issue, the ability to be an expert, quite honestly, is not that tricky. Either Tamara and I could be called in a case to act as expert witnesses, so long as they asked us about things that we know, right? We're legally trained, we have 20 years of experience. Basically we know things beyond the ken of the average individual. So really, I don't think there's any doubt that Mr. Johnson has expertise, has the kind of particularized knowledge and training.
Okay.
The fight is going to be much more of a legal one. Even though I don't think they did a great job of writing it up in their motion, the government's best argument is, judge insurance really isn't an issue in this case. This is a fraud, and that's where Mr. Tabachi, I believe, wants to try to keep this case to the extent that he is able, right? Judge, this is just a fraud. The fact that it happened, in the context of insurance isn't relevant and shouldn't matter. So our job throughout this motion, and just as importantly in our legal arguments to the judge, is to say, judge, don't buy that shit. This is an insurance fraud case. It has been from the beginning.
Well, it was in his elements, the elements that were in my indictment.
Well, it's mentioned in the indictment, absolutely. And you will see in the legal writings that we respond, our sort of opposition to the government's challenge, that we say, judge, look at this page, this paragraph of the indictment. This case is all about insurance. But at its core, the indictment, the elements of the indictment are mail fraud. Right. And certainly there are lots of places where, I don't know, if I run a tractor supply shop and somebody calls me up and, they basically defraud me into sending money. Maybe I fall for one of those, princes across the country. I'm stuck. If you send me $10,000, I'll, give you $5 million.
Yeah.
And if I send them the 10 grand, the government would say, well, this doesn't, so what? It has nothing to do with tractor supply.
Right.
We don't want to talk about the industry of tractor supply or anything like that. That's going to be their argument.
Right? Got you.
This, judge, this has nothing to do with insurance.
Got you.
And that's going to be, we think, a difficult argument for them to make, because what Mr. Johnson does for us is not only as far as his expert opinion, but as far as our, at least that aspect of our theory of defense, is creates that link. Judge, this has everything to do with insurance, right? This has everything to do with how the policy relates. Who are the parties of interest? Who is the company dealing with? Who ought they to deal with? What obligation do they have? What legal, sort of rights and remedies exist because, you know, potentially seen at its most extreme, you know, if an argument is, you know, these folks don't know him this money anyway, regardless of what he told them or regardless of however it was used, you know, then they shouldn't have sent it to him in the first place. And they kind of did so at their own peril.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, those are the kinds of arguments that we're going to be trying to get to. And Mr. Tabachi is going to be doing his side. He's going to be pulling back. And if you'll remember, you know, Tamara has pointed this out several times, and I think it's a critical acknowledgement. The government never produced the insurance contract in discovery.
Exactly.
They didn't have it.
We gave it to them. Because they don't want to go down that path. They don't want to, you know, this is not an insurance contract issue. You know, this is not them saying, well, he violated paragraph 5 because he did this and he did that. They want to keep that out of it. They want to try to keep this as simple as possible. Mr. Tabachi at some point will get up and try to do it his sort of folksy way. Folks, this is pretty simple, right? When you get something you're not entitled to, or if you tell somebody something, oh, I promise, and you give me this, and I'll do this, and you don't, well, guess what we call that, folks? We call that fraud, right? Yeah. My and Tamara's job is to not allow the government to make this simple. Folks, this isn't simple. This is really complicated. There's a lot of moving pieces, and at the end of the day, to try to show them, that's why this is civil, right? If somebody is owed something, that's fine, right? But this insurance company essentially got so far out over their skis that we cannot now call this fraud upon them by Mr. Higgins.
Right. Understood.
And that'll be, and that's going to be the battle. The rest of it, I don't see as much of an issue. I mean, for them to say, oh, he's not qualified, he's not this, he's not that, their best argument is, Judge, you just shouldn't let him give these opinions because they really don't have anything to do with the case. And our challenge, and it's an uphill battle. I mean, this is not a slam dunk for us.
Sure.
Our challenge is to show the court that you have to allow this jury to understand this, right? A fair trial requires a full consideration of all relevant evidence. And as Tamara and I have owned on several occasions, we don't know much about the insurance industry. That's why there are experts. This jury won't know much about the insurance industry either. We have to show them what was at issue. Here's how this contract functioned. Here's how these parties were in interest. So that, you know, when they were dealing with you, whom were they dealing with? Why were they dealing with you? In what context? What legal obligations did they have to you, if any? What legal obligations did you have to them, if any?
Okay. Understood.
Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate you.
All right, Brian, listen, we'll definitely be in touch after we present this to the court about your competency motion and provide instruction accordingly.
Okay, fair enough. I appreciate you, too.
Well, thank you, Brian.
Okay, have a great day.
Have a great day. Thanks for being available.
Okay. You as well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.